Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep, my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on, put a ring in his hand and shoes in his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received them safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed it for him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I didn't know what her brother was going to speak about, but it seems to me that God must have someone, at least in the mind tonight, because of what we have read together again, reminds us, first of all, of lost things. First of all, a lost sheep, then a lost piece of coin, and then a lost ox. We also have three persons that are represented here. The Son, the Holy Spirit, that you've been hearing about, represented, and then the Father, welcoming his son home. And you know, I used to always have the idea in my younger days that There was God the Father, then there was the Son, and then there was the Holy Spirit. But I want to say again tonight, if they're all equal, they all have a work to do. And first of all, I want you to think of the lost sheep. Now, I'm not going to try to bring out some kind of a sermon here, or trying to figure out whether this is from the Old Testament or the New Testament or Jews or Gentiles. I'm just going to leave it the way it is. There's a lost sheep, a lost piece of silver, and a lost son. They were all lost. Furthermore, I want to show you that from the reading of this, it was only the lost things that got any blessing. I want you to think very soberly tonight for this reason, that first of all, it's not the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's the Son first that's represented in the shepherd that found the lost sheep. The shepherd is the Lord Jesus, and he said, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so we have this person here represented in the very first one looking for the lost sheep. I want to say very emphatically again that there was 99 sheep in the wilderness. Did you get that? They weren't saved. I know that Sankey meant well. That great singer that sang along with D.L. Moody, that great preacher in Chicago that saw hundreds of people saved, thousands of people filled his tabernacle. He was a great preacher. He preached in this chapter one night about the lost sheep. When he was done, he turned to Sankey and he said, could you put something that would be go along with the meeting tonight? And for the first time, this song was sung. It wasn't a song before, but it was just poetry. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. He put tune to it and sang it, and we often sing it in amongst Christians today. But I want to point out very emphatically tonight, very emphatically, there were not 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. I'm not going to make a man an error because of a word, but I am going to keep this up. There was only one sheep that was found. There was only one sheep that was brought to the fold. The other 99 were self-righteous persons represented. Because he does say, doesn't he, there was more rejoicing over that one lost sheep that was found more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Did the 99 not need repentance? Certainly do. What's he saying? He's just saying simply, there's 99 people here, 99 just persons. They think they're good enough the way they are, and they're going after Cain's religion, and they die in their sins, and they go down to hell forever because of their self-righteousness. And the world is full of them in the world today. I hope there's somebody in the meeting tonight, if you are that kind of person, you'll get to see that the self-righteous person does not get God's salvation. God only seeks the lost. It's for the lost he came. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. The self-righteous person gets nowhere with God whatsoever. What am I saying? I'm just saying what he's bringing out here simply is this. There's many that will wrap the cloak of self-righteousness around them and say, I'm just good enough the way I am. And if God doesn't want me the way I am, well then, he'll not have to bother. My dear friend, you're playing fast and loose with a living God of eternity that's saying in his word over and over again, there is a heaven again, thank God. And there is a hell to shun. And therefore, it's up to you and I to get to the Word of God and see what God says and put all our ideas and our thoughts to the one side. Because he doesn't say it. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And you know, it just seems to be in the warp and woof of the individuals everywhere you go. They seem to have an idea there's something I've got to do to get God's salvation. And if they can't do anything else, they'll try believing. Did believing ever die for you? Well, I'm not saying for a moment that a person doesn't believe God. I am saying this. Believing will not save you. I'm waiting for you to react here. It's the work of Christ that will save you. Where does the believing come in? The person that believes God that that has happened and that He's died for them. That person is saved by the grace of God. So in one sense, believing brings you to the Savior, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, let's put it this way. Christ is over here. He died on the cross. Anything else of mankind over here, no matter what he does, good works, prayers, almsgiving, religion, no matter what religious, is even his own faith and so on. And I said one night before, I'm going to say again, look, a whole bunch of us together wouldn't put enough faith to fill a thumb thimble. Oh, you say, well, that's kind of hard, isn't it? But as faith answers to faith is in water, so the heart of man to man. And I'm looking in here when I said that. Faith, I used to think I knew a little bit about faith. But man, I'm going to tell you something. I can't thank God for something before I get it. Can you? Oh, maybe you can. I hope you can. If you can get a promise from God and start thanking Him for it, that's wonderful. That's real faith. But how many of us can do it? Good thing it's not our faith that's going to take us to heaven. The fact is this. The shepherd has gone out to seek after the lost sheep. That's his work. He's not going to bother with self-righteous people. He has nothing to do with it. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And the people here this day, they said, this man, he's a big of a sinner. Good thing he did. Because if he hadn't, if I'd never got saved. I was only 9. I didn't get out into the things of the world and the pleasures of sin. No, I'm glad I did. But I was just as rotten as the first that's gone down the scale of immorality to the very dregs. That was all there. And I want to say something as I'm going by here. We're all the same. We're all the same. Don't look at somebody down the street and say, oh, he's so, or she's so. Because if we're put in the same circumstances, you don't know what you would do. Take a look at David for a minute, and I'm not going to just expose his sin not for a moment. He was a far better man than I ever will be. But just the same thing of David. And I want to tell you something, when you stop and consider the rottenness, the filth that's in the human heart. God says deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the self-righteous person says, no, that's not right. That's not me. Well, that person's not going to say. It's only the person that recognizes his lostness in the sight of God. And the shepherd comes along, picks him up, and there's rejoicing in heaven over that sin of repentance. But now come to the next one. There's represented the Holy Spirit. Now I know it doesn't say that. It's speaking about a woman. And you can make all kinds of arguments after if you like. I don't care. But I'm just going to use it anyway. I'm going to pick it out of this and use it. This is like the Spirit of God and His work. And that's what you were hearing already. Because the Spirit of God is at work. All three persons in the Godhead are interested in your salvation and mine. The Father gives His Son. The Son comes into the world to provide. And the Holy Spirit of God takes a person to Calvary and lets him see it. That's salvation. My daughter said to me one time, she said, why is it God won't save me? She was almost bitter. Well, I said, what do you mean? Well, she says, I believe that Jesus died for me. You see, there's some people would say, if a person says that, they're saved. Even if they're not. And if they didn't say that, they're not saved. Even though they were. Now let that soak in there. Because we've got all kinds of ideas, and preachers especially, they got all kinds of little rabbit paths for people to pass through, and if they pass through them all, and they come out at the other end, they've got to be saved. No, no. What was that big man that was in the, one of the great men of the Catholic Church, and he's climbing up the steps for penance, and all of a sudden it struck him, "The just shall live by faith." Did you see? I wonder if you ever receive him into your assembly as Apostle Paul. With a story like he did. He saw light. And we would say, "Oh no, that's the wrong color." My dear friend, God has his own way of bringing salvation to a soul. The point is this. The point is this. It takes the Spirit of God, first of all, in his work, to make a person want it. We can't do that. We preach night after night and we hope and trust that souls will get stirred up about this most important matter, but we can't stir them. But that's his work. Here it is again. What he's doing is trying to point people to the door. And that is his work. And apart from a person trying to say, so when we come to the word of strive to enter in, that's the person that the Spirit of God is dealing with. Now that he's dealing with you, you have an opportunity. And I'm hoping, and my brother is hoping, and the Christians here are praying night after night that the Spirit of God will awaken some individual to recognize, look, I need this. That's coming from the Spirit of God. That's not the individual himself. That's not natural. The natural man knoweth not the things of God, neither can he know them. He perceiveth them not. And there's nobody that's seeking after God. It's the shepherd that's seeking the sheep. And it's the Spirit of God here represented. I use it again. What's happening? This woman, she gets a broom, she's lost a piece of silver, and she gets a broom and she starts sweeping around. And what's happening? Oh, it's digging the dust out of the corners. What's the Spirit of God doing? He's beginning to sweep around the mind and sweep the dust and dirt and filth out of the mind of men and women and make them realize you're just a filthy sinner. And as he's sweeping, or as she sweeps it, she finds the peace. My dear friend, is the Spirit of God. Listen, that's his work. And oftentimes what you hear people say when they just get saved, "Oh, I see." Yeah, because the Spirit of God has uncovered it. The coin's laying there all the time. You're worrying all around the place and you think you're going to figure it out. And you think that somehow or another God will have to save you by hook or by crook. My dear friend, the salvation is sitting there all the time. And it's only when the Spirit of God uncovers it. And there it is. The silver. It speaks of redemption. Sometimes it's a verse of a scripture. Sometimes it's a verse of a hymn. But it has to be scriptural. My mother often said that she was sitting in the back seat of a hall over in the old country. It was the Sunday night meeting. She wanted to get saved, but she didn't know. They're all done preaching. Yeah, the preachers they're all finished. And they're singing. And they were singing that hymn, "Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me." And she says, "That is true. That's for me." Now that's not in the scripture. That wasn't a verse from the Bible, but it's scriptural. This business of salvation is so simple. is the very simplicity of it. People stumble over. They're trying to see something. Can I come back again? They're trying to believe it. And I know what I'm talking about because I went through it for years. I didn't know if I had enough faith. And I didn't. And I didn't know if I could believe enough. And I couldn't. Not enough to get me to heaven. Now don't look at me in that strange way. Think it over. What is it that saves a person from hellfire? It's the work of Christ and that alone. Plus nothing. And the person that's just willing to take God at His word and say, that's right, Lord. I was telling you about my daughter. Why doesn't God save me? I said, I don't know. But there must be something standing between your soul and God. She said, what do you mean? We were in the hospital. I said, if I was to hand you my Bible right now, you could get it, couldn't you? Oh, yes, sure. And I said, if you took it back, you could tell when you got it. And you have something. But I said, if I hand you that Bible and you were standing outside the wall there, if I was to ask you here, Jake, you couldn't get it because there's a wall between. Now I said, I don't know what the wall is in your life. I don't know. But because you're not getting saved, and you say you believe all this, it's just because there's a wall there. That's the work of the Spirit of God, take that wall away. And let you see that is salvation. Well, she says, I don't understand it. I believe that Jesus died. She says, I was brought up to believe it. She says, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and He died for sinners, therefore He died for me. As you say, no, she says, no. Well, I said, she says, don't you say that I don't believe it. She says, I believe it, every inch of it. See what believing does? Now you're thinking, actually. And that is the way it is with an awful lot of Christians' children. They get all bent out of shape. I wonder if I believe in this enough. I wonder if I've got enough faith. Well, you don't. But if you could just take what God says, He will show you. Christ on the cross was there for your sin. Is that all? Will you tell me what else? So the work of the Spirit of God is to bring the person to understand. He's sweeping and he's digging around the corners and he's making the person to realize. And then, last of all, he shows them there's a circle all the time. But let's look for a minute at the lost son. Pity the priest. He leaves home. He gets out into the far country. He's wasting his substance with vile living. When he had spent all, isn't that like the world? Isn't that like the world? You know, while a person is spending their money, they'd be packing them in their back. Can't you hear? Oh, that's regalic. Keep it up. Bring on the more money. And they'd be pushing something in front of them to get a little more and so on. Isn't that like the world? It's like the devil. Why? He wants to get them away. And whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever, he wants to get them away past that door. That's his work. And I'm not close-minded at anybody because I realize, if you don't, I realize this one thing. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, God only knows where I might have been a skid row down in Vancouver. Or making a way for Tokyo or someplace. Or maybe already in hell. Why? Because I know what's in here. And I wouldn't tell you what's in there. Yeah, even now. Yeah. You think these fellows are preaching, you think they're little angels or something. I want to tell you the long way from. No, they're not angels. And they have the same thoughts run through their minds sometimes. They have to go into confession. that you could hardly go through Vancouver and see some of the billboards without having their mind on fire. People don't know what sin is. The very thought of foolishness of sin, well then what must it be like to see some of these ungodly pictures? Here's a young man and he's got away and he's been into sin and into frivolity and so on, and he comes to an end of himself. Oh, I hope somebody gets there tonight. Some self-righteous person that thinks they're good enough to get to heaven the way they are, I hope you'll get to yourself. And when you get to yourself, you'll find you're naked. He had no clothes on. And you'll find out you're just naked in the sight of God, and there's not a thing you can do to hide from him. You have no comfort. And he begins to think. That's what happens when a person gets to realize in their sin that they get not so under the Spirit of God again. He's thinking. And he's saying to himself, here I am, feeding a certain pigs. Back home. My servants have more. My father's servants have more than this. And I was stuck. This is ridiculous. And it is ridiculous for a person to go on from day to day, month in, month out, year in and year out, and think somehow, somewhere, God's going to have to save me. No, he doesn't have to save anybody. But he will. If you're willing to take the place that he has given to you. He says, well, all right, you're a mess up. And in a little sermon all made up, he says, I will say to my father, I have sinned. Now, did you hear tonight from Job 33? You remember what God said in Job 33? If any man will say, I have sinned. Now look at him. He goes back to his father, and he's done a little sermon all day. Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, and I'm no more worthy to call thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I doubt very much that he really meant that. But he did know he was sick. He goes back home. And the father shuts the door on him. No, sir. Because there's three persons that's interested in your salvation. I want to say it again. The Son went to the cross to die for you. The Holy Spirit of God wants to bring you to Calvary. And there's a Father in heaven. There's a God in heaven that's just waiting for the cry of... I saw a picture one time. The prodigal son. You wonder how people read their Bibles. They must have it upside down or something. Because this picture was depicting the prodigal son. And here was the prodigal son down the bottom of the steps, and the old man standing up there looking at him. What are you doing coming back here? Well, that's not the way God treats sinners. He welcomes. I'm so glad he does. Because you know something? Although I had never got into the things of the world, I was only a little thing, 9 years old, deserving nothing but hellfire. Just a little fella, way down in the backwoods of Nova Scotia, where they believed in witches. And he reached down and he picked me up out of the gutter of sin. Before I got into it. I heard a young man one time tell me how he got saved. He was only about 13. And he was telling about how wicked he'd been and how far he'd gone into sin. Anyway, we get back to this man. What happens? He gets to the town. And he said, I've sinned. Did he get the little sermon out? No, he only got the one word. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. That's as far as he got. That's all God wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear whether you think you're worthy or not, or what you're going to make of him. You know, sometimes people say, yeah. Peter told us, he said, you know, he said, I said, if God will save me, I'll go out preaching. No, 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 he's not going to make bargains like that. All he wants to hear is, I sin. That's all. And when a person gets there, God has delivered him from going down to the pit. I found the ransom. What's the ransom? God bless us. The work of Calvary. Whosoever believeth on him. Make sure the emphasis is on, well look at it. Let's move it for a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. But the emphasis on him. I know time is gone, but just let me give you one illustration. We got a bridge now across the 3DI, I'm so glad for that. But anyway, one time we had, up until then, we had a ferry boat. There was one there that carried 200 cars. Hundreds of people, thousands of people moved back and forth across that 9 miles of water. I have never yet seen anyone driving up to near the boat and get out of the car and then walk up and down the side of it to see if there's any holes or if it's breaking up or anything. Why? They're depending. That's another word for believing. They believe that the government of Prince Edward Island and New Brunswick would have a safe convenience. They're just depending on the government now. That's all. I've never seen them drive up there and get on the boat and jump up and down and say, well, what's this here over? No, they're depending on the government to have a safe conveyance. That's all. They get out of the car, they're talking and laughing, they go inside, they sit down in the big armchairs, and they're talking about anything, the weather and all the rest of it, asking where each one's going and all. They're not even thinking about going across the water, and now they're going through 9 miles of water. So their faith takes them over the 9 miles.
He's got it. He's shaking his head this way. Their face didn't take him across the 9 miles of water at all. It was the ferry that did it. But their face put them on it. He did the picture.
Not your face going to take you to heaven. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But your faith will make you appreciate it.
When you
our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy presence again. We thank thee for all those who have come along tonight, and we do pray of thee that thou wilt speak to hearts that we can speak to. Grant, Lord, that no one will go away tonight without having heard something of the word of God that will stick beyond the reach of the wicked one that would try to take it away. And grant, Lord, that we might have the joy. We do thank thee for what thou hast accomplished already, and we do ask of thee that thou wilt still look down upon us in our great need, and grant that some other souls will be saved by thy sovereign grace, and to this end we do ask thy blessing in his worthy and his precious name. Amen. Hymn number 114. Number 114. The first two verses of hymn number 114, still undecided, look to thy heart, grieve not the spirit, lest he depart.